we've gotten through to Article 22, I believe.
We adopted 20 and 21.
We adopted 20 and 21, not 22. Oh, you want to go to 22?
Yeah. Okay. So, Mr. Wilms, are you presenting Article 22 to us?
Correct. Mr. Chair and committee members, before you is Article 22. It deals with state agencies' appropriations. You'll find these on the aid tracking spreadsheet beginning on line 141. So within the appropriation here, the language changes in paragraph E. $100,000 more is appropriated in fiscal year 15 for the Board of Teaching, paragraph F. An additional $58,000 is appropriated to the Board of School Administrators. That's ongoing. One-time appropriation to the Works Museum of $75,000 in fiscal 15. $50,000 in fiscal year 2015 is to the Headwater Science Center, and then $25,000 is not necessarily an increase, but a set aside within the agency's budget for innovation pilot grants. And then you'll see on line 86.4, the base budget is set for fiscal year 16, and I believe there's a technical amendment adjusting that, because the intent was to generate, was to increase the base amount for MDE a small percentage, and the tracking shows that, but without the technical amendment, it generates a de facto decrease. So just addressing that. Section 2, that captures the Minnesota State Academies, $300,000 per year operating increase. You can find that on the spreadsheet, line 167. And then Section 3 is for $294,000 one time in fiscal year 15 for additional health insurance requests to MMB.
Okay, and Mr. Holmes, you indicated that there's the 1346 technical amendment. Is that correct?
Correct.
I think that's been distributed. Representative Carlson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the amendment 1346.
Okay, on Representative Carlson's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And then Article
20. Mr. Chair? I have an amendment. The
I'm sorry.
A 14-1342 amendment for this article.
Apparently that's been distributed.
Does everyone have that amendment, Mr. Chair?
I don't know.
So what this amendment would do, and this is amends actually the group health insurance bill that was passed a few days ago, and what it would do, there are certain requirements and so forth with self-insured, and on line 2.28 of the amendment, it would say that a district in which the school board adopted a motion on or before May 14th of 2014 to approve a self-insured health care plan. This would be effective July 1st, 2014. Puts them under the guise of this. And it would actually involve Spring Lake Park, one district. And so this has been okayed by the stakeholders and asked for approval.
Okay, so we have Representative Markert's motion on the 1342 amendment. Is there further discussion? Senator Wieger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to acknowledge, strongly support, thank Senator Johnson, Representative Bernardi, and others for their work, and happy we can accommodate.
Okay. So on the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carries. Then Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of the article as amended and include in that motion that any technical adjustments that are needed be taken care of by the staff and giving them that authorization.
OK, Okay, on that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Then, Mr. Williams, Article 23.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Article 23 is a technical article conforming fiscal year 14 and 15 appropriations to the February forecast. Basically, it's a conforming article that brings it into alignment with the fund balance.
And Mr. Holmes, which version do we have?
This is the Senate's version, which adjusts the final payment for 2013 in some instances.
And that was the consensus on the part of the staff to take the Senate?
That's correct.
Okay. And Representative Carlson.
Yeah, I'll move adoption then of Article 23, and include in the motion that if there are any technical changes necessary, that we give authorization to do that.
Okay, on Representative Carlson's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, then, so that concludes the E12 articles. Next, we have the Environment Ag articles.
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, Senator Weaver.
Excuse me. Before we go to the next, I just wanted to, as Representative Markert, acknowledge the indefatigable efforts of staff. I want to acknowledge that some of them have not gone to bed yet and been here throughout the night, and just maybe a quick shower, and I think and that goes for many of the people for articles. I'd like to give them a round of applause.
Very good.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, I would also like to acknowledge the interested people around the room who have been here night and day with regard to waiting for this very article, which always is the article that brings the most concern and attention. And particularly, I know there's been so many of my colleagues who have been focused on these early childhood issues, and want to thank them for their hard work, as well as yours, Mr. Chair, on the early childhood issues.
Okay. Thanks, Senator Bonoff. So next we have the environment article. If we have Representative Mahoney.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if this would be the correct time, but last night I spoke to a little fix that had to go into the jobs bill on one of the workforce development expenditures, and I'm wondering if this would be an appropriate time to do that amendment, or would you like me to wait?
Well, what I'm trying to do is, as we get closer to finishing, I'm trying to accumulate all the amendments. If it's ready to go and it's quick, Senator Thomasoni, is that?
I'm sorry. What
are you aware of, Representative Mahoney's amendment?
Yeah,
is this a quick amendment?
Which one?
It's the one to the Northwest Indian OIC.
Yeah, that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so
and Mr. Chairman, I think that's just a language
addition. Yeah,
amendment. There's no cost.
Correct.
With it, so.
Okay. All right. What
do you have? Do we have it? We have it written up.
President Mahoney, do you?
Yes. It is. I don't know. Has it been?
I don't have a copy.
And members, while it's being passed out, if what I can say is this is just an amendment that ties this expenditure to a couple of requirements in order to use the money appropriately in partnership with, as the language says, a research institute and a nonprofit organization with experience in developing deconstruction jobs, new products, and material reclaim. So it's just giving them some direction of where it goes. The only issue is that once it's passed out, I need to do an oral amendment as it is part of it was written to the side-by-side rather than to the appropriation writer, and the staff should be able to take care of that.
All right.
So if
you may want to include that with your motion that they be authorized to insert it in the proper location of the bill, I think would work.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Mahoney.
I would like to move the A203 amendment, and I would like to incorporate an amendment that allows the staff to make the appropriate adjustments in placement of this amendment. And what I've said earlier about this amendment is that it just gives direction to the dollars and puts and gives the Northwest Indian OIC better direction on how to spend that $250,000.
Okay. All right. We have Representative Mahoney's language. Let me just ask a quick question. I'm just reading it. I can probably guess, but what's a deconstruction job?
Mr. Chair and members, a deconstruction job is typically when an older building or any building is being torn down. They go in and they tear out the old moldings or the 2x10s that were used in the floor joists or any particular material and resell it, and then anything that's also left in there. And they made a fan with 50-year-old wallpaper, and they did it around, and they sell this kind of stuff. So it's just deconstructing the home, taking it apart, and using as much of as they can rather than put it in the landfill.
All right. And Representative Mahoney's motion on the A203 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Before we get to environment, as long as we're doing amendments, Representative Carlson, I think you are aware of this bulk data amendment that was presented to us by Ms. Dornfeld.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and that was one that we needed to talk a little bit about because there's going to be discussion very soon on that very issue on the House floor. And so I was asked that we wait for that discussion to take place.
On the House floor?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
And depending on the outcome of that discussion, we may want to talk about it later.
All right, we'll have a chance. So why don't we have a presentation on the environment article while the staff is coming up to the table. Any comments from Representative Wagenius or Senator Tomasoni?
Well,
Senator Tomasoni.
Chairman, I know there's a couple of issues that may or may not be resolved. They're resolved to my liking, but I don't know if they're resolved to Representative Wagenius' liking. And there's some money on the bottom line, and I'm willing to pass it as it is, I don't know if Representative Wagenius is or what the House is. And so I think, Mr. Chairman, it would probably be appropriate to, and I don't know what you have plans to do here, but I think it would be appropriate to go through the articles without voting on anything and just review it so that in the event that something does happen positively later on, we can just come back in and vote.
That's probably a good suggestion, but let's at least have the discussion. So,
if I could, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, Representative McKinney, I apologize.
I think folks around the table know that this was a more challenging article because we came here with bills that had how much in same or similars?
Zero. I had 26 blank pages on my side. Yeah.
And that ain't about the same. So we were in about that way. But what we have brought to you is now a consensus that you're seeing in here, and you will also we will chat about a pollinator provision where I think I know there's a consensus now, and I know that Commissioner of Agriculture has blessed it. As members are going along, you can note on lines 12 and 13 on our spreadsheet, there's no money for the dog and cat breeder bill. And on lines 22 and 23, there is no money for the toxic-free kids issue. And on lines 26 and 27, 28, there is no money to put in general fund money to put into the minerals management account to allow the minerals management money to be distributed in some of our northern communities. So what's on the bottom line is enough money to resolve all three of those issues. So I think the question is, for this committee, is can we do the committee work and resolve it, or does that take some powers above us, which could well be the case. So with that, I look forward to hearing from staff.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tomasoni.
I think that what's on the bottom line is not sufficient to solve all three. I think it's sufficient to solve two out of the three, and then one of them would have to come out of the environment account, and then there's $206,000 that would be set aside for whatever the governor was in here for, or the lieutenant governor was in here for the earlier. So I think that's...
I would agree that there's, we would use for the toxic free kids, we would use money from the environment fund, and there would still be $208,000 left.
All right.
And there could be a tails problem too.
There's always tails problems.
Okay. So with all those caveats, if we could, Mr. Hagemeyer or Mr. Mueller, who's going to go ahead?
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Brad Hagemeyer with Host Fiscal Analysis. I'll start by going through the spreadsheet, and then the other staff will maybe take other parts of the bill here. If you look at line two, the first appropriation in here is the Farm to Food Shelf. It's a $2 million grant. It's one time and available for 3 years, I believe. The next appropriation is a one-time grant to County Fair Arts Access. This is in addition to the laws that were passed last year that already appropriate funds for this. There's an increase to food safety inspections of $350,000 one time. For the total for the Department of Agriculture for general fund is $2,550,000. The next appropriation we see is on line 19. There's a $4 million direct appropriation from the Environmental Fund for SCORE grants, and the tails number for that is $3 million per year, again from the Environment Fund. Lines 20 and 21 are related to a transfer you'll see in the bill of $1,150,000 from the Environment Fund to the Remediation Fund. $650,000 of this is a direct appropriation. It's for Superfund work with the staff and mitigation, and part of it is a statutory appropriation, as you see. There's no general fund appropriations for the Pollution Control Agency. The next department is Department of Natural Resources. The first appropriation we see there is $1 million to purchase school trust lands. That's from the general fund. There's $50,000 for a Lake Emily Dam study. Again, that's from the general fund. There's a $21,000 grant to Mississippi Headwater Board. Line 35 has $1.6 million, a one-time increase to state parks. There's also $450,000 to state parks from the Natural Resource Fund Lottery in Lieu account for the same purposes. There's a $350,000 appropriation for a portion of the Munger Trail to be named, or he'll go through the language, but it's for the Munger Overstar Trail, as you see on here. Lines 38 and 39 relate to some language we have creating a state park license plate. You'll see on in fiscal year 17, there's an appropriation, a statutory appropriation of the revenues that collects. Lines 40 and 41 are changed to last year's Parks and Trails appropriation that's needed. There's a cancellation of $530,000, and this is reappropriating $200,000 for Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails Commission, and $330,000 for a section of trail from Giants Ridge to Tower. And then we also have some appropriations in the Fish and Wildlife Management area. Those all come out of the Game and Fish Fund. There's $3,000 for a narrow-leaved and hybrid cattail report. There's $9,000 for a quail recovery plan. There are $2 million for shooting sports facility grants, and $400,000 for the Let's Go Fishing program. Your total appropriations for the Department of Natural Resources are $530,000 in fiscal year 14 and $5,883,000 in fiscal year 15. If you look on line 50, you'll see an appropriation of $185,000 from the general fund to fund the permanent school fund director at the Department of Administration. This is a transfer you'll see later in the bill from the permanent school fund to the general fund to cover this, so it's net neutral on the general fund. And then right below that on line 53, you'll see $15,000 for the permanent school fund commission, and it's dealt with the same way as the director. On line 56, you will see $75,000 for a Turtle Lake water level study. This is again from the general fund. And you also, right below that, there are $450,000 from the Metro Parks Lottery and Lou account, and that's the same amount as the state parks listed up on line 36. They're separate accounts within the Natural Resource Fund. If we go down to the University of Minnesota on line 60, there's $3.4 million of one-time general fund money for the Terrestrial Invasive Plant and Pest Center at the University of Minnesota. Line 61 includes $490,000 from the Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund for the same purpose. And there is another transfer of $970,000 that isn't showing up in the appropriation part because it's a transfer of a previous appropriation. So the total appropriation to the U of M for their Invasive Species Center would be $4,860,000, I believe. On line 62, you'll see $1 million from the general fund for the Forever Green Agricultural Initiative. And that is all we have for the direct appropriations in the Article 14. And you can see our general fund total is $10,246,000 in fiscal year 15. With the permanent school fund transfer, the net number for that is $10,046,000. Our target was $12 million, so there is $1,954,000 on the bottom line. And I can go through the other totals if you'd like, or just skip over that.
Sure.
Okay. The Natural Resource Fund total was $900,000 in fiscal year 15. The Game and Fish Fund was $2,412,000 in fiscal year 15. The Environmental Fund was $4 million in fiscal year 15 and $3 million each fiscal year 16 and 17. The Parks and Trails Fund has $530,000 in fiscal year 14. The Remediation Fund has a direct appropriation of $650,000 in fiscal year 15 and also a statutory appropriation of $500,000. And then the Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund has a $490,000 appropriation.
Okay, we have a question. I'm sorry, Mr. Hagemeyer, go.
As I mentioned, our target for fiscal year 15, our target for the TAILS was $3 million, and this bill currently doesn't have any funding, any general fund funding in the TAILS. So that money is not included in this bill at this time. If you go to the second page, there's a few other provisions. On line 92, that's the Parks and Trails Fund cancellation that I mentioned earlier that relates to the two appropriations from the Parks and Trails Fund. On line 96, you'll see the transfer that I mentioned from the Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund from a previous appropriation to the U of M Terrestrial Plants and Pest Center. And line 102, you'll see a transfer from a previous appropriation for Metro Shooting Sports Facility Grants. $100,000 of this will be used for a grant to Itasca County Gun Club. And the remaining $168,000 that's in the account will be used for shooting sport range facility grants. And that, I believe, also passed in the Game and Fish Bill. Under the revenues, I have two errors in there that I'd like to point out. On line 109, the dog and cat breeder bill isn't included in this bill at this time, and I forgot to delete the revenues. So the revenues in 15 should be zero, as well as 16 and 17. And on line 110, in fiscal year 17, there should not be a revenue for toxic-free kids, since that is also not included in the bill at this time. There are a few other revenues. On line 111, there's a provision in the bill that creates a non-resident off-highway motorcycle trail pass that has $5,000 of revenue in fiscal year 15 and $10,000 per year after that. Lines 112 through 114 relate to the state park license plates. There'll be $1,703,000 in new revenue, a lost revenue of the annual permit sales of $852,000, a lost revenue to the critical habitat plates of $255,000, and that all occurs in fiscal 17. Lines 115 and 116 relate to some water permit language that has changed in the bill. There's a little bit of revenue that's created with that, $18,000 fiscal year 15, $9,000 in 16, $5,000 in 17. Lines 117 and 118 relate to the transfer from the permanent school fund to the general fund for the director of the school trust lands and the commission. And then line 119 and 120 relate to the transfer from the environment fund to the remediation fund for the Superfund mitigation and management. And that is all there is for that article. Do the water one, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, if you look on line 126, you'll see there is actually three articles to this, what's being proposed at this time. There's some changes to the Clean Water Fund or some new appropriations we're making. On line 128, there's $200,000 from the Clean Water Fund for St. Croix Water Monitoring. That's to the Pollution Control Agency. On line 131, there's $900,000. It's an increase to surface and drinking water grants that we currently do through the Clean Water Fund and the Board of Water and Soil Resources. On line 132, there's $150,000 for infiltration projects in the North and East Metro groundwater management area. On line 133, there's a similar project for the, I believe it's the Bonanza Valley groundwater management area and the
Straight River.
Groundwater management area, and that's for $250,000. And line 134, there is an appropriation of $100,000 for landscape BMPs in the North and East Metro groundwater management area. The total for the Board of Water and Soil Resources from the Clean Water Fund is $1.4 million. If you go down to line 137, we start with the Metropolitan Council. There are three grants there from the Clean Water Fund. One is to create a regional water plan for Northeast Metro groundwater management area. That is $400,000. Line 139 has $100,000 for treating stormwater for recharge in the North and East Metro groundwater management area. And there's also $50,000 to reduce industrial water use in the North and East Metro groundwater management area. The total for the Metropolitan Council is $550,000. The last appropriation for Clean Water Fund is in the Department of Health, and it's for wellhead protection areas, and it's for $300,000. The total appropriation from the Clean Water Fund is $2,450,000. And you'll see on line 148, there's an appropriation transfer slash extension from appropriation in 2011 for shoreland stewardship and TMDL coordination. There's $575,000 in that currently. It'll now go towards stream flow monitoring.
Do we have questions for Mr. Hagemeyer on the spreadsheet? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Tomasoni.
I just might point out that on line 131 through 134 on the spreadsheet that's coming out of the CWF, which might be considered the Chuck Wieger Fund. No, okay, no.
Maybe we can pair that one up with the highway we had on the okay, thank you. So do we have Mr. Mueller?
Mr. Chairman, I was saying that I'll start on Article 14, or if you want to make a motion first before we do that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the adoption of Article 14.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Article 14 contained the appropriations and riders of the Environment and Natural Resources. There's a separate article for clean water, and we'll go through that after the policy sections, but I'll go through Article 14. Starting on the first page are just the totals for the article, and that was covered in the spreadsheet. The second page, we start with the appropriations for Department of Agriculture. You've got the $2 million for the Second Harvest Food Bank for the farm-to-food shelf. There's one issue here on line 26 that we still need to have amended. It's the percentage that can be used for administering this grant. The House came in with 11%, and the Senate had 5%, so you'll see a blank on line 26 that we'll have to address at some point here. Otherwise, the rest of the language is pretty much coming that came from the House bill on that, and is available until June 30th, 2017.
The next item is an item that came from the House bill that it tells the commissioner to examine the industrial hemp provisions. On the next page is $350,000 one-time money for retail food handler inspections. It's a version of what was in the Senate bill. And then the last item is $200,000 for the county fair arts. That was in the Senate bill. And that is it for the Department of Ag. Next, we move on to Pollution Control Agency. We get the $650,000 for the remediation fund for Superfund mitigation efforts. That was a PCA request and was in the Senate bill. Next, on line 3.22 is a provision that was in the House bill, and the House originally had, I believe, $1,000 for this one, and now requesting the PCA to do this without cost for the microbead study. Line 32 is the $4 million of environmental fund for the increase in the SCORE grants. And also on the next page shows that the tails for this is $3 million per year. And this is added to the existing appropriation of $14.25 million that goes out of from the environmental fund for SCORE grants. That's it for PCA. Section 5 is DNR. First part there is the total direct appropriations for the agency. Land under lands and minerals is the $1 million that was identified on the spreadsheet for purchasing school trust land, but this is some new language working with the House. And basically says that the money sort of gets put in limbo for until the legislature can receive some recommendations from the commissioner of DNR and commissioner of education of how to best use this $1 million. And so by next year, and then it is available until June 30th, 2017. Under ecological resources, you see the appropriation for the Lake Emily Dam. That was from the House bill. Page 5, under Parks and Trails, you'll see the one-time appropriation of $1.6 million just for DNR Park, for Parks and Trails. That's one time. The lottery in lieu appropriation of $450,000 is on line 11. And then lines 5.18 and 5.27 are the two appropriations from the Parks and Trails Fund, and that money was made available by the cancellation of a different appropriation from fiscal year 14. And so $530,000 became available, and so $200,000 of it is going to the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission to help develop their statewide system plan. And $330,000 is a grant to the St. Louis and Lake Counties Regional Railroad for a part of a section of the Mesabi Trail from Giants Ridge to Tower. On page 6 is the $350,000 of general fund money for the development of a segment of the Willard-Munger State Trail. From Chisago County, it goes to Hinckley and into Pine County, and this would be named the James L. Oberstar Trail. And this came in as a late request, and I believe it also had some possible federal money that's available with this one. Under Fish and Wildlife, I'll clarify here on line that all these appropriations will be coming from the Game and Fish Fund. Originally, some of these were in the House, out of the general fund, but these now all come out of the Game and Fish Fund. The first one is actually out of the Heritage Enhancement account. This is for the narrow-leaved and hybrid cattail study. It's for $3,000. Then there's on line 26, $9,000 from the Game and Fish Fund, and this is dealing with the restoration of the bobwhite quail. Page 7, we have the $2 million appropriation for the shooting sports facilities. This was from the Senate bill. It's available until 2017, and there's also some language in the policy article that ties in with this that was worked out. Lines 7.10 is the appropriation for the Let's Go Fishing grants, and I'll note some, there's some changes to the language. This was originally a Senate provision, and the new language clarifies that the grants go only to local chapters. And then you'll see on lines 22 through, like, 33, some specific language that the Commissioner DNR in establishing this grant program must clarify, or the grantees must clarify the ownership of the equipment that would be purchased under this grant program. That was extra language that was added to help clarify the program. On page 8 is the cancellation that Mr. Hagemeyer had talked about from the its original Parks and Trails Fund appropriation from fiscal year 14. This trail actually was completed before the actual money became available, so the money was never able to be spent. So it was canceled and then respent in the ways that we outlined earlier for the Parks and Trails Commission and also the other trail. Under Met Council, page starting on line 8.9 is the appropriation for the lottery in lieu, $450,000 one time. And then on line 8.17 is $75,000 for the City of Shoreview for the study of the Turtle Lake and water level, lake water level study and possible effects of augmentation. Section 7 on line 22 starts the University of Minnesota, and you'll see on line 28 is the $3.4 million general fund portion of the appropriation for the Invasive Terrestrial Plants and Pest Center, and we'll note that on line 33 that the appropriation is available till June 30th, 2022. This end date was a compromise between the House and the Senate. Some other on page 9 is the other appropriation from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund for the Terrestrial Invasive Species Center, also available until June 30th, 2022. And then you'll also see the $970,000 that is also from the trust fund. And this amount was actually transferred from a previous appropriation from through LCCMR and from the trust fund through Reinvest in Minnesota Wetlands Reserve. And Mr. Hagemeyer noted what the total amount for is now, what, $4,860,000 for the Terrestrial Invasive Species Centers between those provisions. On line 9.20 is the appropriation for the Forever Green Initiative. In the Senate, originally this came in as a amount from the Clean Water Fund. This is now coming out of the General Fund. And you'll note on lines 28 through the end, there's some requirements of for the U of M to submit a report on this initiative. Page 10 on Section 8 and Section 9 are the two appropriations that pay for the administrator and the Permanent School Fund Commission activities, and these originally come from the general fund but will be reimbursed by the Permanent School Fund. Section 10 is the increase of the transfer from the Environmental Fund to the Remediation Fund that was in the Senate bill, about $1.15 million. Section 11 actually is where we increase the appropriation to the Upper Mississippi River Board by $21,000 one time. And on that, we took the House language that requires a report on page 11 at the bottom with that new language. Then, and that is the end of the appropriation article.
Okay, and I think now there are a couple of, there was the one blank. Reverend Wagenius?
Yes, Senator Tomasoni and I talked about this, and I have talked to staff about it. We would agree for the first year we would take the House 11% but for any year thereafter, money expended in the year after would be at 5%, and that would be the ongoing.
And I'm sorry, that's on page 2?
Yep. Yes, but I think that was, yes, page 2 on line 2.26.
Okay, so do we have language, Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair and members, I did jot down some language to accomplish Representative Wagenius's intent in the margin here. I can read that for members' review, or if you'd prefer staff, I could confer with staff after we're done, and we could come up with language that would accomplish that.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Tomasoni,
we should probably clarify, because the appropriation is one time,
yeah.
And so, but it's available until used.
Yes,
3 years.
3 years.
3 years, and so it may not be all spent in the first year,
right.
And in the event it is, they get 11%, but otherwise they get 5% after that if they use it later on. Correct.
That's okay. What we agree with.
Okay, so Mr. Sullivan, is your language then?
Yes, Mr. Chair, my language would be on line 2.25 after the period, insert in fiscal year 2015. On line 2.26, delete the blank and insert 11. Delete the and insert any. And after grant, insert received under this paragraph. And then on line 2.27, after the period, insert in fiscal years 2016 and 2017, Second Harvest Heartland may use up to 5% of any grant received under this paragraph for administrative expenses.
And Representative Wagenius and Senator Tomasoni?
That works, I guess.
So Representative Wagenius moves that language as presented by Mr. Sullivan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I just bring to members' attention that in most cases when the language makes a one-time appropriation, they have made it available until a date certain. The one exception is on page 6, line 8, where an appropriation is made and it's available until spent. I'll just highlight that for you if that's something you want to have happen.
So let me inquire of Senator Tomasoni or Representative Genius.
Can you give me the page again?
Page 6, line 6.7, 6.8.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's okay.
Pardon?
I think that's okay.
That was Senator Tomasoni's provision.
To expire.
So that's how you'd like to have it written, Senator Tomasoni?
I think, yes, because I think they're trying to get more money at the federal level for this to complete the project, and who knows when they might get it done, so we should just leave the language like it is.
All right. Okay, so why don't we go on? If there's no further...
Move the article?
Pardon? Not at this time. So let's go on to the next article, Article 15. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, I can go through that with you. Starts on the bottom of page 13, but the appropriate language starts on page 14 of the document. And this was the Senate provision on transferring the money used by the Permanent School Fund Commission and the director that was mentioned on the spreadsheet. And this would be the transfer from the suspense account. And then section 2 was a house provision on off-highway motorcycles. Some exclusions for certain racing events, and section 3 was the non-resident pass required for using for off highway motorcycles use of state trails. Section 4, this is related to the house provision on the state parks trails license plate, and then it also that's a cross reference, and then section 5 is the donation account where the money will talks about how the money is used. Again, this was the House provision as is. Section 6 you've already adopted, and this deals with the Upper Bluff at Fort Snelling on the interest and use of the account, making a statutory appropriation. Section 7 dealing with the Zoological Garden is the official pollinator bank for the state. You've already adopted that. Section 8 is a modified version of the House language for the trap shooting sports facility grants, and this is the same language that's now in the Game and Fish Conference Committee report.
Yeah.
Section 9 was a Senate provision dealing with investigation of waters of the state. It's kind of a technical change on top of page 18. Section 10 was, again, another Senate provision on prohibiting once-through water use permits, again, taking that de minimis of 5 million gallons out. Section 11 is a water use permit processing fee section. Both sides had language, and you'll see on the bottom of page 20, both sides had language on waiving the water use permit fee under for stormwater runoff and for certain water quality issues. And then, so this is a House language. There was a little difference between the two. But also, you should note on 20.25, we're increasing the penalty from 2% to 10%. That was in the Senate bill. And then on Section 12, we've got a new penalty for noncompliant reporting using the same 10% penalty. Section 13 is the administrative penalties as it was in the Senate bill. Again, the levels are the same. If you can see that it only applies for a person on 21.19 and 21.20. It only applies to a person who's appropriating water without a permit. And then in Subdivision 2, you can see that there's a penalty scale there for minor penalties of 1,000, for moderate of 10,000, and for a severe penalty. Or for severe harm, a $20,000 penalty. And I think I pointed this out in the walkthrough. There's a lot of language about process, and this is actually just follows existing process that we use in PCA and other agencies that have administrative penalty authority. But in Subdivision 12, that's on page 24, starts on 24.21. Before the commissioner can use this, he must prepare a plan for it, and the plan must include explanations of how to determine whether those violations are minor, moderate, or severe, and there has to be a 30-day public comment period on the plan. Section 14 starts a number of recycling provisions from the House that the House brought in. This adds the owners of a sports facility as having to comply with the requirement for having recycling activities at the site. And then if you can see on 25.17, we've got a definition of sports facility. And then this takes effect January 1st of 2015. Section 15 is an update to the statewide source reduction goal. And it makes a number of technical changes, removing dates and kind of updating the goal. And then Section 16 is the basically updates the definition of what recycling means for the purpose of the county goals that are in law, and kind of clarifies how source-separated compostable materials fit in. Section 17 is an update. This was, again, in the House language, to the goals to 2030 and going to 75% in the metropolitan area. Section 18 is, again, the recycling. This is adding compost source separated compostable materials to the list of items for the SCORE grants. And then paragraph B is some direction. And again, this is all the same language that was brought in by the House. It's basically giving direction on how to use the additional money and make sure that much of the new money will be used for source separated compostable materials. And then section 19. Again, this is to deal with recycling and talks about submitting electronically and must be posted on the agency's website. And then specific recycling and composting activities. It's basically the report for the county and how they're supposed to report. And then Section 20 you already adopted. That was that AURI statutory appropriation. That was a technical fix. Section 21 is the actual license plate language for the state park and trail plates. And again, that was as the House had it. Section 22, both sides had this change to the 2008 appropriation. This is the House language, and the major difference between the two was is what to do with the $168,000. And we went through that earlier, but what this does is it puts it in that new grant program, the remainder after the $100,000 is taken off for Itasca County. Section 23. This is the effective date for the logging for the timber producers. last year to move it back. We talked about this in the walkthrough, moving it back to June 1st. So it'll put people in June the same place as if you were to turn back your permit in July. And then, Mr. Chair, I think maybe Ms. Taylor can talk about Section 24.
Okay. Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, Section 24 is some house language brought in that provided additional guidance to the U on how to establish the invasive terrestrial plants in Pest Center. It's virtually identical to what the House brought in, but if you look on Subdivision 3 on page 32, there had been an annual report requirement, and now it'll be just a one-time report for January 15, 2015. And then Section 25 is a repealer of some old recycling goals.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have questions or discussion on that article? Mr. Bodden, you had a comment?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make you aware that on page 17, line 21, I think the zoo has been requesting a small change in the language there, and I'll just describe to you what it is. On, again, page 17, line 21, delete the second the and insert N. So the zoo would be N official pollinator bank. I think the intention would be to leave room for others if they wish to do that. And I just making you aware of it, not recommending it.
Okay, I don't know if
one way or the other.
Okay, I don't know if anybody would want to make that change. Senator Weger says yes. Representative Wagenius or Senator Tomasoni?
What is the change?
Answer to the question.
I'm sorry, I was talking.
What were you doing?
I was talking about something else back here.
Why don't you repeat it so we...
Mr. Bodden, now that we've got Senator Tomasoni's full attention, maybe you could...
Very good. So on page 17, taking you to section 7, there's new language on lines 21 through 23 that designates the zoo as the official pollinator bank, and I think the zoo has requested that it be named an official pollinator bank, and that would make it clear that there could be others fitting that designation. So on page 17, line 21, you could delete the second the and insert N.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, and whomever may be able to answer it, is the zoo asking for this change so that there might be the possibility that a second official pollinator bank of maybe we could put it up in Hibbing or Virginia? And see, I got his attention.
It's fine.
I think it's a good idea.
Do you want one up there?
There's enough sting and gum from the range.
It's fun.
Okay, well, Senator Tomasoni moves that correction. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Anything else, Representative Wagenius?
Yes, I think it's for this article. We had many discussions about how we were going to do the pollinator language, and I think we have come to an agreement. So I would like to move A14-1340, and there this amendment this amendment with another amendment that I'm going to offer to it, I believe is a piece in the valley provision. So in the House we had some language the Senate didn't like, and then the language was almost identical, but there was a couple of provisions the Senate didn't like and a provision that the House didn't like. And so this amendment with this provision brings peace and balance. And so I would move the amendment to the amendment first.
So are you moving the 1340 amendment?
For 24,
I've got two
1340
amendments.
1340 amendment, and then we have to have this second, and I guess it's not an amendment to the amendment, but this would come along with the second amendment, which is A14-1344.
Okay.
procedural, Mr. Chairman, because we have an amendment to an amendment.
I see. So can we just...
Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair and members, as Representative Wagenius described it in the end, actually the A14-1344 is drafted as a separate amendment. I think her intent may be to move them both at the same time, but you're correct. If this were an amendment to this amendment, that would be problematic, but it's drafted as a standalone.
So we would adopt, Chairman?
Representative Carlson.
We just adopt them separately. That was the point, yeah.
But I want people to know that it's the Second Amendment that makes sure that there's peace in the valley, and
okay.
that I would intend that everybody vote for both the first and the second.
Can you explain this, Senator Tomasoni?
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Wagenius has described it correctly, that this is the amendment that gets everybody agreeing on how to do the registry and how to get to the point where everybody knows what's going on. So I think this one, I believe that was the only real difference in our language in the two bills, is that we had the registry and the House did not, and this creates a compromise.
If I could just amend that, technically, we did drop the insurance language that the Senate objected to.
Okay.
So that is not in here. So it's more peace in the valley.
So at this point, you're offering the 1340 amendment. Is that correct?
I'm offering the 1340 amendment. Then I will offer the 1344 amendment.
Okay. So on Representative Wagenius's motion on the 1340 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Wagenius.
We have the 1344 amendment, and I want to make sure we're going to ask counsel. I think we adopt this, and then we have a technical amendment. Is that correct? An effective date amendment?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, I believe your intent was to put an effective date on the A14-1340, which I think the committee just adopted as I was hustling over to inform you of that. So I don't know now what the best procedure is, maybe to reconsider adoption of the amendment and allow Representative Wagenius to incorporate a change.
Should we take that first, the effective date?
There was some concern.
Representative Wagenius?
Thank you. There was some concern by folks that some might want to go back in history and say, my bees were killed, please pay for it. That is not our intent. And so the amendment, which puts in a specific effective date, I think clarifies that for people who are super worried. I don't think that we ever intended that, but sometimes you do an abundance of caution to make sure that everybody's happy. And that's what this is.
All right. So we have Representative Wagenius's motion on the 1344 amendment. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Anything further on these? Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair and members, the 1344 is actually a separate. It's the report back on the registry that Senator Tomasoni and Representative Wagenius were speaking about. The change, actually, the effective date change needs to take place to the language adopted in the A14-1340 so that the compensation program would take effect and apply to bee deaths and colony losses that occur on or after the effective date. So the effective date change is actually needed to the language in the A14-1340.
So do you,
Mr.
Sullivan?
Mr. Chair, then I guess in order to incorporate that effective date without amending an amendment to an amendment, I think it may be necessary to reconsider the vote on... Okay. Mr. Chair, conferring with Mr. Marks, we can just do this as an amendment to the adopted language. So I can read the effective date language if you'd like.
Mr. Sullivan.
Okay. Mr. Chair, the effective date would read, section effective date, colon, this section is effective July 1st, 2014, and applies to bee kills and bee colony losses attributable to acute pesticide poisoning that occur on or after that date. So the intent is that compensation would not be available for bee losses that have already occurred before the effective date.
So on Representative McGinnis moves the proposed language. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have one more B amendment. I haven't discussed this one with Representative McGinnis yet, but it's an A202 amendment.
Okay, if we can have that distributed.
202. SCH3172A202.
I figured it would be.
Good.
Okay, let's go on to the next article.
So, Mr. Chairman, the B squad. There should be a B squad in this. We have to have a B squad. And the B squad is dressed in black suits with yellow shirts and black hats. We drive black Fiat 500 vehicles with two-stroke engines, yellow flashing lights, and a car horn that sounds like buzzes. I mean, that would be totally appropriate for this, don't you think?
Instead of our group of experts.
All right, I won't offer that amendment, Mr. Chairman.
So let's go on to
Mr. Chairman. I just have an expiration date that we have to put in on line 2426 that I was omitted. Senator Weger and I have agreed to this, and it's on the APO language, and it would be July 1st of 2015. 2015.
What is this?
Representative Senator Thomas, only where?
Line 24.26.
Page 24, line 26.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, Greg Knopf. I think the way to do it is after that, after line 26 on page 24, insert effective date colon. This section is effective July 1, 2015.
Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Genius.
I think that would not be a good idea. And here's why. What this applies to is on page 2119. An order in this section may be issued for a person for a water appropriation activities without a required permit. So what we have in this state are some people taking water that they don't have permission to take. That's not good for their neighbors, one. And secondly, we have some areas in this state that are under super stress. And Representative Weger's area is one of those areas under super stress. So we have three groundwater management areas, Representative Weger's area, an area in Bonanza Valley, and an area in the central stands, all under super stress. So to wait and have the stress become worse does not seem appropriate to me, so I'll be voting no.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the issue isn't that we're not going to do it. The issue is that there's some things that are going on in regards to the permits that are being issued and not being issued right now, and it's a matter of an adjustment period. There's some yellow card things out there that are being issued by the DNR for people who are requesting permits, and then they get permission to drill a well or to use the water, but they don't have a permit as a result of this yellow card, and so they don't exactly know if they have permission to use the well, and permits don't get issued. So all this is an adjustment period to let the people who are doing this realize that this is coming and that they have to be aware of it. I'm not trying to eliminate anything, and I'm not trying to stop anything. I just want to slow something down so that we can get this thing in. I mean, these are coming from people that are involved in it right now.
Rosa Morganius.
Okay. Well, I am aware of some controversy in Dakota County, and some trout streams. I'm aware of that. However, in the big picture, Senator Uyghur's area, Central Sands, Bonanza Valley, I think we don't want to be in a position of telling DNR to wait, because that is not good for the neighbors. It's not good for the everybody, because we have a shared water resource. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems we're running into is some folks think that we're like California and that they have a water permit, or that water belongs to them. In Minnesota, it's a shared resource. Very hard for DNR to deal with this issue. This is hard. I know it's hard, but I think we ought to get going.
So, Mr. Meyer, did you have a quick comment?
Mr. Chairman, yes. For the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner of DNR. Just to Senator Tomasoni's point about the yellow cards, actually, the DNR, a well applicant is required to get a preliminary well approval letter from the DNR. We're doing our best to make sure people can get water where they need it, but because of the demands and the increases in these wants, we're working very, very proactively to get these things done. Where they get a yellow letter, it says that you can proceed with caution, but there may be conditions placed on your permit. What we're trying to do is protect people from putting in large investments into a well and into irrigation materials, and then they would come to us for a permit, and we say no. So we're trying to work with them to protect their financial interests as well. We're doing the best we can. I'd also like to bring to people's attention on lines 24.21 to 24.26. We must prepare a plan for the administrative penalty authority in this section. It must include explanations on how we will determine whether violations are minor, moderate, or severe. And there's also a 30-day period for public comment. And the plan must be finalized within 6 months after the effective date. So realistically, this section will not be going into effect until January 1st, 2015 at the earliest. And we're working with all the stakeholders involved to deal with their concerns. I think delaying the effective date isn't in the best interest of the state at this point in time.
All right, we have Senator Thomas on his motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, to that point then, let's put an effective date of January 1st of what you just said.
Senator Thomas,
2015.
I would ask DNR if that is helpful in areas where we're under stress and that would, or hurtful.
All right, so Senator Tomasoni, are you?
Yeah, well, as long as DNR just said it can't go into effect until January 1st of 2015, let's put the effective date January 21st.
Mr. Chair,
January 1st of 2015.
One question on that related Mr. to Mayor. That subdivision 12. Would be our intention to be working on the plan and provide a 30-day public comment period so that plan would be finalized by January 1st. I do not think that amendment would impact our activities there. I just would like to get a clarification on that.
Yeah, I think that's a clarification, too, and I think that would then be consistent, so you can accept that.
All right, so that's your new motion?
That's my new
motion.
Yeah.
All right. Representative Carlson?
Chairman, I think there's a problem then in terms of when they can begin the planning process if this is adopted, because I think the point that Representative Wagenius is making is that she would like the planning process to begin right away, and with that effective date and the way it's being read now, there would be a problem with when the planning process could even begin. So that would kick it out even further.
Senator Tomasoni.
Well,
Mr. Knopf.
Yep. Mr. Chair, I think there's an easy fix to that. Instead of this section, you would say effective date, subdivisions 1 to 11 are effective January 1, 2015. And then that way, subdivision 12 would be effective on July 1st of this year. That would give them the 6 months window that they need for the plan.
That'll work.
Okay. All right. So that seems to work better.
Yep, that works.
So
it seems to work better. I would like DNR's to say a yes or no, please.
Say yes.
DNR, come up and
shake your head. Yes.
You're the ones that are doing this work.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members, that does work. I think it allows us to move forward, and the law will be able to be implemented January 1st. So thank you.
All right. On the Tomasoni motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Members, Representative Carlson and I have a meeting, so need to suspend this. But before we do so, Commissioner Fredrickson had asked for an opportunity to address the conference committee. Is Commissioner Fredrickson here? Right there. So, Commissioner.
The Chair, before, as he's coming up to the table, I have another amendment for the Ag and Environment Bill. So
well,
just as long as we don't forget to take it up.
Yep. So, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Dave Fredrickson. My principal line of toil is that of the Commissioner of Agriculture here in the state of Minnesota. I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for the hard work on behalf of the department, but I would like to for three very specific areas of concern from the Department of Agriculture's perspective. Very specifically, it relates to food inspection at our department, and I appreciate the fact, Senator Cohen, that you've included $350,000 in a one-time appropriation. However, that doesn't take us into the out years. My concern, of course, is a commitment on behalf of the legislature as we move forward. Now, I know that you will say, come on back next year and let's talk about it in the future, but I would like to see an additional $350,000 of tails, which indicates a commitment that we'll move forward with the St. Paul Food Inspection, or with food inspection. Our problem was that we assumed the responsibility of food inspection that previously was delegated to the city of St. Paul. We utilized existing staff to step up and fill that responsibility. We don't have the resources going forward to continue that. And so I again would appeal to you to consider that as an option. The second issue I wanted to visit with you about is the breeder bill and the lack of resources that you've committed to carry out those responsibilities at the Board of Animal Health. The amount is $310,000, and those resources would go directly into staffing up that program to make sure those inspections are carried out in a proper way. Again, it's a priority of the administration. I hope, of course, that it would become a priority of yours. The third issue I wanted to talk about is the issue of the PED virus, porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. It has impacted over 7 million head of hogs across the United States this year. I don't want to see that. It's technically has slowed down somewhat, I'm told, but we don't want to get into the summer months and all of a sudden see it ramped up again. I think it's imperative that the legislature and certainly our department make a commitment, at least a token commitment, to support additional research in that regard, and I would recommend something in the area of $200,000. With that, Senator Cohen, again, I just wanted to come over and make the case on behalf of the department for those three very specific areas, and I'd stand for any questions that you might have.
So I appreciate your appearance here, Commissioner. Obviously, you and I spoke several weeks ago about the food inspection. I'll be honest, I don't serve on Senator Tomasoni's division, so the other two is the first I've heard of. I mean, I'm aware of the breeder bill, which I happen to support. Senator Marty's talked to me about that. I didn't realize the administration had a position on that. And as to the third, I had not been aware of that. And I'm not going to speak for either Representative Wagenius or Senator Tomasoni.
Well, Senator, I suppose you and I have not had a serious in-depth discussion on the issue of diarrhea, and I tried to stay away from that. but if we want to, we can do that.
All right. On that note.
I'll beg off.
Any questions for the commissioner? Okay. Well, thank you very much, Commissioner. I've asked staff to make note of these concerns and see where we are relative to revisiting them.
He says how long?
Pardon?